Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome to it. It is Old School on a game day. Not sure if you heard the news or not, but Nebraska football has a game tonight, just a handful of hours away. Let me do my math correctly this time. Just under 5 hours away from kickoff between Nebraska and Cincinnati. We here on the ticket will take you all the way up to kickoff between the Huskers and the Bearcats down at Arrowhead Stadium. Austin Orman with you here. Jay Foreman on the road. That means we bring in boss man DP. DP, happy game day to you and to yours.
Did we say that it was game day?
If we hadn't said it yet, here's your notice.
Yeah. Yeah. There's this thing. The weather seems a little footballier. It seems a little huskier. It feels a little different. Walking through the Haymarket and walking around downtown, the facial expressions, the interaction, the acknowledgement of other Husker fans, a little different today, just a little different today.
In the best of ways. Sounds like traffic is a mess for Husker fans headed down to Kansas City. Who could have ever seen that coming? Who would have guessed that a bunch of people, 60,000 people potentially at once, even if it's 40,000, that's a bunch of people on the same two-lane stretch of interstate and highway. So best of luck, safe travels to everyone listening to us on the road. Don't forget, if you're still on the road, you can hear us on the radio dial, of course, 93.7 FM. Or, as I informed someone earlier today on the phone, we do have a free app for your phone. If you get out of signal range, the best way to listen to 93.7 The Ticket is through the app on your phone. It goes worldwide. You can take it everywhere, which means you can take us everywhere. That is the way to go. 402-464-5685. What is on your mind for Nebraska and Cincinnati? Eric says, what? It's game day? Mind blown. Thank you, Eric, for playing along on our text line. DP, let's dive into this. Nebraska and the month of August. This will be the 19th time that Nebraska has played a game in August. The Huskers actually went undefeated from the time they played their first Thursday game of the modern era against Penn State in 1983, all the way through the 2019 win over South Alabama on August the 31st. Then the Huskers had a three-year losing stretch once they got into the Big Ten August openers. They lost at Illinois to Northwestern, of course, in Dublin, and then on the road at Minnesota in Matt Rhule's first game. Huskers back in the winning column in August last year with a 40-7 win over UTEP. To me, I've always associated this Labor Day weekend with the opening of college football. I think it's a really good time for the season to start until the playoff expands, in which case we're probably talking about second week of August, potentially. Maybe third week of August instead of here at the fourth or into the fifth week of August. Where do you see the college football schedule heading in terms of these games here in August?
Well, it's interesting. I don't know if you caught Peter Cobalt and Jalen Reyes last night here on the ticket. But it was interesting to point out that in previous eras and recent history, women's college volleyball started when it started. Mm-hmm. It started when it started. But an interesting thing has happened with exposure and money and business being done openly. Nebraska volleyball and the powers that be in the game, the top level tier of programs and coaches decided that in order to better the game, improve the game, improve its standing, improve the business, the dollars behind it, that the best teams needed to play as soon and as often as possible for the good of the game, for the good of the business. I like the idea. I mean, think about it. Nebraska being the number one program in volleyball, playing number three, and then, oh, by the way, the reigning defending champions Penn State will play in the same building a day later and in between. there's something to be said for that. And Texas and Ohio State is a statement. It's a statement. Like, that's when football season began, when people began to look at the week one stuff and said, oh, my goodness, you're not going to be able to bother me Labor Day football weekend, college football weekend. You're not going to be able to bother me. Don't call me. Don't text me. Don't ask me. I think it moves up, and I think it moves up in full. The advance behind it. Tell me that you're really trying to put meaning behind the college football playoff and your program. So if we're speaking about Nebraska, the days of Akron, Houston Christian being your opening season, I think they may be gone. If you're making a legitimate bid to be one of the elite 12 or 16 teams, then you don't have time to ramp up. I'm not sure you will. Mm-hmm. There are those that won't matter, but if you're Nebraska or Kansas State, Iowa, Wisconsin, Maryland, do you have time to ramp up, or do you have to go and make a statement from week one?
Probably try and make statements.
You should get some attention. Especially if you're not ranked in the top 25. Like, you need to gain some notice. You know what? We're not out here playing with y'all. Like, we're not just going through the motion. We're not going to assume that just the wins are going to matter. They have to be meaningful wins. Mm-hmm. And in talking about Nebraska's recent open day history, it was pointed out earlier that Nebraska against Power 4 teams in the opening week hasn't gone well recently. Yeah, you've got to change that. Like, you've got to change that. You've got to make a statement that, wait a minute, we need to not only pay attention to Nebraska and be familiar with Nebraska, we need to put some respect on Nebraska's name as early as possible. Now, for the sake of this season, Cincinnati will do. For the sake of this season, because you get to creep up on folks this year. Mm-hmm. This year. There's one year you get to creep up on people. This is it. You could be 3-0 before anybody knows, oh, my goodness, what's going on in Lincoln, Nebraska. That's fine for this year. But next year, if you're talking 16 playoff teams and a real rush, it's going to be that highway between Lincoln and Kansas City. That's going to be college football playoff. That's the tour. That's the road. You better get on the road, get a head start, and get close to the proximity as quickly as possible. Otherwise, you're going to get stuck in traffic and going, well, we won nine or 10 games. Why aren't we close to the stadium? Mm-mm. Those are folks who got here early. They have a parking pass. Matter of fact, VIP parking pass. And by the way, if you're on your way to Kansas City and you don't have your parking pass already,
whoops,
get digital and get your parking pass, because otherwise when you get close, it's not going to be of value.
It's going to be very difficult for you, and you will spend all that time for basically nothing. Jesse says he just talked to a buddy of his going to the game. Sounds like the floodgates have opened. Husker fans are in the parking lot getting set up. In maybe the truest testament to Husker fans, DP, there were bunches of people tailgating as they waited in line. Got to the gates early, set up the whole spread. The tents, the chairs, the food, the coolers, everything. Packed it all up, and here they go to do it all again. Pretty impressive. Shout out Husker Nation for that. 1171 notes that Nebraska doesn't play a Power 4 non-conference opponent next year for now. Don't forget, these college football schedules have been made many, many years in advance. I wonder if we don't get to a point in college football where it's more like college basketball, where you schedule maybe some games 2 years in advance if it's a home and home. But otherwise, I mean, college basketball is still getting games added to the non-conference schedule. Earlier this week, we got a Duke Texas Tech added at the Garden in the winter. So I wonder if that's not the way the college football could be headed.
Well, Nebraska is going to have to find a partner or mm-hmm. two or three in the Power Four who you're willing to do schedule home and away or neutral. Especially even on the short notice. Like, mm-hmm. listen, one of us is going to have an advantage. We both will have a box checked in that we did not schedule Meatball State and Cupcake University, mm-hmm. right? Because that's going to be a thing that's going to strike folk later on. Unless you're Alabama, Georgia, and you can continue to do that, mm-hmm. right? You built a recent resume. Nebraska doesn't have the recent resume. They don't have the recent respect. So this year is where you reset standards for a lot of programs. Nebraska being paramount in the top that, listen, the 10-2 has to have value because we don't want to – listen, we want to get to 10-2, but you don't want to be 10-2 and then have somebody look at your schedule and go, yeah, that Akron-Houston Christian corridor.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Is going to strike against you being in the playoff.
Cough, cough. Nearly Indiana. Cough, cough.
Right. Like you don't want that to happen. So you'll have to make decisions.
Decisions, decisions, decisions. Indeed. Let's go back to the text line here at 5162. Appreciate you texting. And Thomas and Lincoln says, "What up, DP and Austin? I'm ready for my two games of the week. One of them is tonight, Nebraska by 14. Road to 10-2 starts today." Of course, Thomas and Lincoln is our resident Texas fan alongside his Husker fandom, also a Panthers fan. So, Thomas, we'd love to know the backstory on your fandoms there. Meal Ticket says, "Nebraska needs to win here to take the bad taste out of Husker fans' mouth. The last time Nebraska was at Arrowhead Stadium is when Oklahoma beat him in the 2006 Big 12 championship game." Nebraska's played, I think, 11 times in Kansas City, something like that. I think only 3 wins in the city, just a couple and a half hours down the road. And that's an interesting, I think, vignette a little bit too, DP, is that Nebraska wants to dominate Kansas City. They've told you that with some of the moves that they've made. It's right down the road. They should have some inroads, but Kansas State has gotten better. Kansas has gotten better. Missouri's certainly gotten better. Iowa can reach down there as well. Kansas City isn't just Nebraska's for the taking, especially now that they're in the Big Ten. It's still Big 12 country in a lot of ways, and Husker fans might feel some ties back to that. But even just a win over Cincinnati won't make Kansas City Nebraska territory again. It's going to take some hard work to keep getting that talent out of that metro area.
Well, this is where I shake the cage a little bit. As you said, it's Big 12 country. But if you that's not the city. That's a part of the target area. But what about St. Louis? What about St. Louis? Now, it's not as convenient for Husker fans to get there. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about recruiting and planting seeds, St. Louis is a much more fertile, popular area, mm-hmm. right? Tell me that you're trying to get Chicago. Mm-hmm. Tell me that you're trying to get in Indiana's back door and Illinois' back door. Okay, tell me that part. I can look. I need to get in that neighborhood. Tell me that you're going to be dominant in Minneapolis. Tell me that you want to plant seeds in Detroit, mm-hmm. right? Because Michigan can't have everybody. Michigan State is doing a poor job, so it's an opportunity. Dominate in Big Ten. We say a lot of the same things in repeating because it's been said once from somebody and you keep repeating it. But what if you went west and recruited better? What if you dominated Vegas, Nevada? Go tell me you can get
Denver.
Tell me you can get deeper in Utah. Listen, Utah is a very unique pool, right? The BYU pool is the BYU pool. Nobody's getting in and there's nothing you can do about it. But Utah has managed. Utah figured out, listen, we don't want to compete with BYU necessarily, but we will compete with Cal and USC and UCLA. Going to Colorado, different pool. Hey, let me go and see what Dion's working with, right? Maybe we get two or three. We steal two or three from Colorado State, right? Maybe we go deeper in the Dakotas, right? And we pull some of those national championship caliber lower level folks who can help us in positions of need. In order to change your place in the scene, you have to change your thinking, mm-hmm. and you have to change the way you operate. Mm-hmm. The whole 500-mile rule. Since I never understood that. Can I say that publicly without getting in trouble? I never understood. Is Georgia within the 500-mile?
It is not.
Alabama?
Nope.
Texas?
No.
No. What are we talking about? California? What are we talking about? If you tell me that you want to dominate in the 500-mile JUCO circle, we can have a different discussion. But Kansas City and St. Louis make sense if they're both approached and they're both attacked. You can't be passive in it, right? It's sexy to be able to say we're going to play at the home of the Kansas City Chiefs. But if it's not friendly to you,
then what's the point?
It's not the friendly confines of Arrowhead Stadium.
Not yet.
It's not. Are you telling me that Husker fans wouldn't go to Denver?
I bet they'd go to Denver.
You don't think we would go to Allegiant Field in Vegas?
Probably would.
Same note. Like, I understand the convenience of getting in the car. But make it make sense and then move forward because the business is changing. As the texter says, the SEC added the 9-game conference schedule as well, adding a requirement to play Power 4 opponent. Does the Big follow? This is the whole thing. It's the conversation we've been having, Austin, that the Big Ten and all of its charter member universities have to go back to your meeting, get back together, and then really start to work for the Big Ten. Because the mission is going to be, how many Big Ten schools can we get into college football playoffs? And then be in positions to control their own destiny in the college football playoff. Let's not go through and allow Feinbaum and the frat boys from down south to go in and be specific about it. Right? Look, to them, it's their cocktail party. BYU's going to visit and make some noise, but they think it belongs to them. And Notre Dame still doesn't care. They don't care. What y'all doing? Yeah, Texas says, yeah, St. Louis is in the 500-mile radius. That's my point. If you're going to attack them collectively and on purpose, then you have to tell me who you're sending there. And then you have to tell me, you have to go there and win in both places. You can't attack Kansas City and get St. Louis. Nope, got to do it. You got to look, hey, you know what looks really good at St. Louis? Go to Little Rock, Arkansas. Go to Fayetteville. Tell me what that is. It really is going to change. It's going to change everything.
Let's go ahead and loop in our guys, boots on the ground at the Blur Events tailgate. We got Jake. We got Nick live from Blur. Gentlemen, how was the trip? It looks like you made it safely. How are you doing?
The trip was not ideal, to be very honest with you, not because of anything with the driving situation, just the fact that there's a lot of road construction. We were fortunate that we avoided a bad accident at the Nebraska City exit, which is causing a lot of problems right now, a lot of rerouting getting down here. But we did not avoid the issue on I-29. I think three or four different spots with major road construction, major slowdown. I think for a half hour, we were going at the best 5 miles per hour, right?
Yeah, topping out at maybe six. I mean, it was
rough.
Yeah,
it was rough. But you know what? We got to the stadium right around 2 o'clock. We're all set up. Doors open here in 11 minutes, and we're excited for a very fun time at Kauffman Stadium right across. We can see Arrowhead right here, right across from the stadium. So we're in a wonderful spot. Weather's great, and this is going to be a hopping place here in a matter of 10 minutes or so.
I was going to say, it appears that you're sitting on hallowed ground at Kansas, Kauffman Stadium, home of the Kansas City Royals. So consider me ever so slightly jealous of that. Big series for the Royals starting tomorrow against the Tigers. We are, of course, here to talk Husker football. I assume you saw plenty of red on the way down, plenty of people in Husker gear. Is it true? Does it look like it's the 60,000 Husker fans making their way down?
Should be. It's funny. We were actually in the moment of slowdown with, 5 miles per hour. I think a relative of Nick saw us in the ticket van and rolled down the window and said, GBR, and rolled on by. Yes, there's going to be a lot of Husker fans today. I mean, you're seeing estimates of 95% of the crowd, if not more. I mean, we talked to Tony Pike this morning, 1530 Cincinnati, ESPN Radio. He said he saw 80 Bearcat fans on a flight yesterday to KC. So if 80 is all they're bringing, I'm sure there's more than that. But I don't think you'll see a lot of Bearcats. Now, again, similar colors. They have more of they're more black in terms of, they have red, white, and black. They're more black than Nebraska's in terms of the color scheme. But it's not like you're going to see purple or yellow. Like they're a similar scheme.
If you want an indication of Nebraska and if they're here or on time or ahead of schedule, the parking lots were not scheduled to open until 3:30 p.m.
Correct.
The Husker fans, maybe you guys saw this on social media because people were posting about it, but there were Husker fans lining up in a single file line in their vehicles, opening the doors, just waiting to get into the parking lots. So they were tailgating from not even the parking lots, but the entrance to the parking lots. And what they told us was that it was starting to impede Main Street traffic around Kauffman and Arrowhead Stadium. And so they ended up opening up the parking lots at 3 p.m., a whole half hour early. I don't know if they even do that for Chiefs games. So yeah, the Husker fans are here in full force.
You guys weren't even first in line. How'd you sneak through or around the traffic? How's that work out?
We had some sources help us out there. We had some good connections thanks to Blur, very helpful to make us sure we got here in time and set up. So that's how we got through, Austin. It took a lot of patience in traffic. We kept thinking, well, are we gonna get down there in time? Are we gonna make it there at all? And finally, we got through. So hang in there, Husker fans. If you're on the interstate listening, you will get here. It just might be a little later than you wanted to, but as Nick said, the gates are open up early in terms of the parking lot, so they're trying to get people through, and it's going to be a heck of an atmosphere, not just here at Blur Parties, but at the stadium, the tailgate lots. I cannot wait to see how this all unfolds this evening.
That's two straight Husker games that you guys have attended that have been tied to a baseball stadium. Last year, of course, ended at the Pinstripe Bowl in New York City at Yankee Stadium. Now you're down at Kauffman Stadium, just across the parking lot from Arrowhead. How are you guys anticipating, the difference in energy and vibe from New York City to Kansas City now? What would that be, about 8 months removed from Nebraska's appearance in the Pinstripe Bowl?
Well, in all honesty, the weather could not have been, It could not be flipped any more than it is right now. I mean, so in New York, it was rainy. It was chilly. We had winter coats on. Here, it's going to be 75 degrees at kickoff and very light breeze, just enough to be comfortable. I mean, it could not be a more perfect day down here in Kansas City. And the Husker fans, like we said, they're enjoying it. So that's the first thing that sticks out to me, of just the atmosphere. It's people are going to show up no matter what. But when you have a day like this where it's under 80 degrees, but it's not too chilly because the wind's not that strong, you're going to have a pretty good atmosphere on hand.
DP and I were talking a little bit about this, where Kansas City in some ways feels like it should be Nebraska territory, right? Nebraska's history, tradition, plenty of ties back there, but it's really Big 12 country. Do you guys think that this can be a step in the right direction for Nebraska in helping claim Kansas City as Nebraska territory again? Do you think the Big 12 ties, the Kansas, Kansas State, Missouri improvements might be too strong and Nebraska might always be looking kind of at the outside in on Kansas City, wishing for it to be Husker territory, but never fully capturing it?
I think Nebraska has had some fault of their own for not attacking KC enough in the past. You've heard some stories of coaches saying they had not seen a Nebraska coach there for several years before they stopped in. So Nebraska needs to continue to recruit the area, which they have some players on the roster, and here are some guys that are in getting recruited by them. But Missouri is a good program right now. They're doing well in the SEC. Kansas, of course, has had a revival under Lance Leipold. Chris Klieman has done well at K-State. So the competition is great. And those programs should want KC kids. They're closer to those schools than Nebraska is. But, yeah, I mean, it is Big 12 country, but there's no reason why Nebraska can't get players. I mean, Jamar Mosey is a KC guy, correct? Mm-hmm. Former coach, now on Nebraska staff. So that's going to have a massive impact on if it goes well for Nebraska and he's happy and his son's happy. That could be a huge elevator to getting more players considering Nebraska and coming here from the KC area.
We'll let you guys go with this. Walk us through your plan from Blur for pregame. We told people what's going on at Memorial. What can they expect from you guys starting at 5:00 Central from the Blur Events tailgate?
Well, we're going to do a typical pregame show, get you pumped up for the game. In terms of if anybody is stopping by, we encourage you to stop by the booth, say hello. We got some swag for people that come by. There's cornhole for people to play. There's a lot of different games in general. We're in the shade. Like Nick said, the weather is great. The shade's not going to make it 20 degrees cooler, but it is very nice. And there's a nice breeze here. But I would just say we're going to ride the wave of the momentum of the fans, and we're going to preview the game, have a great time, and hopefully serve up a win when all is said and done.
And if you are en route to the stadium or you're listening in the parking lot, whatever it may be, for just $30, you are into the Blur tailgate. Full access to every activity, every tailgate game, every amenity. It's all included. There's complimentary bottled water here that they're giving out. There's drink tickets that you can purchase as well. Concession stands are open here in Kauffman on the concourse. Mm-hmm. So just because there's going to be a lot of people here doesn't mean that it's impossible to get tickets. So if you're en route to the stadium and because of the traffic, maybe you're not able to go to another establishment pregame like you planned, stop on by Blur Events, the tailgate, purchase your tickets, $30. It gets you inside the door, and Arrowhead just steps away.
Indeed it is. Give Varick and Stacey our best. Fellas, we'll hear from you again at 5.
Absolutely. See you guys. Thanks.
That's Nick and Jake with us live from Blur Events down at Kauffman Stadium. Like they said, stop by if you're in the area. We'll go to break. More Old School next here on The Ticket.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
This is Old School, brought to you, of course, by the Mercado, by Certified Piedmonte, special ingredient butcher shop, 3 Lincoln locations, and 1 up in Omaha. Today's Fired Up Thursday, which means tomorrow is Fired Up Friday. I think they got their hot Italian beef sandwich tomorrow at the Mercado North 84th and Havelock. Get there starting at 11 o'clock for lunch at the Mercado North, part of Fired Up Friday. 402-464-5685 if you have any thoughts on Nebraska, Cincinnati. Of course, we'll get to them throughout the course of Old School and our 3-hour A1 Automotive Ticket tailgate pregame show coming up. Brad says, any sign of Neil Smith? Everyone seems to forget Keelan played at Liberty in the Kansas City metro area. Have not heard of a Neil Smith sighting yet. Would not surprise me if he ends up being in the building. I think it was 8 or 9 different players with Kansas City or Kansas City adjacent ties on the roster. And that's something I think worth pointing out, DP, is a couple Husker legends from the Kansas City area. Of course, Will Shields, his name's on the stadium. Neil Smith carved out a nice NFL career for himself. Plenty of postseason sacks as well. A couple local legends, and I think that just kind of deepens why I think a lot of Husker fans want Nebraska back in the area, because they've had some all-time greats from just a few hours down the road.
Yeah, there was Rashawn had said that there were a bunch of the guys, former Huskers, who are either in Kansas City or going to be in Kansas City. He wanted to know whether to kind of direct them to the Blur Events or not, and that sort of thing. So hopefully they've communicated that back and forth and talked to each other. But yeah, there was you want it to be the friendly confines. Like that, I mean, mm-hmm. that's really what you want. You want to make it a second home as much as possible. Having former Huskers there to remind folks pleasantly that Nebraska was great and
can be again.
And you hopefully, you know, those alumni and legends and their sons and nephews will consider pondering being a Husker again.
In the title, we have Nebraska football versus Cincinnati by the numbers. A few interesting numbers here, DP. We'll start with the offensive numbers. When Nebraska scores 30 or more points under Matt Rhule, they're 5-0. Something like a magic number. Now, not a huge sample size, but they've only scored 30 or more points 1 out of every 5 games. With as good as the defense has been, 30 points isn't a lot in modern college football. It is in the Big Ten, which is where, of course, Nebraska plays the bulk of its games. But I think that if I see that stat, Nebraska's 5-0 when scoring 30 or more points under Matt Rhule, leads me to believe Dana Holgorsen, get us to 30 points a game, our defense will take care of the rest.
Yeah, your number is your number. It often happens, especially in high standard programs. You know the numbers that correlate to wins and losses. Ultimately, you get past the me and the selfish and the we, mm-hmm. and you say, okay, what number of points? How many points do we have to score to win games, to win the bulk of our games? And the Tony White Nebraska defensive team is one thing. We don't know what this year's version is going to be or what that number is. But Holgorsen and the offense, they're not competing with the defensive numbers. They're competing with their efficiency, their production. Mm-hmm. They know what they want to be able to accomplish. I was talking to Barry Thompson last night, and he kind of pointed out identifying the plays that Nebraska can and will run the best the most often. And then identifying who the best offensive player is for Nebraska. It may not be the most important player, but the best offensive player. What player can we go to in what situation to guarantee success? And mm-hmm. if that's, you know, a 4-yard run by Emmett, maybe it's using your tight ends for 5-yard pick and pop sort of situations with your tight end, out routes that you can throw safely, slant routes that Dylan will have a clean window to throw through, and do that. Identifying those things, it's important. And we as fans don't know. We don't know those things yet. I would imagine they have a pretty good idea based on the plays that they've run the most at camp. The plays that they've run the most. They've run it the most often. They have the most answers about how it's supposed to look. The players that they've put on the depth chart run them efficiently the most often. That's how you determine how many points you can score, whatever that number is. And then it's, remember, 20 to 20 is one set of offensive plays and schemes. Inside the 20 red zone, different set. Mm-hmm. And Nebraska fans know recent history that hasn't always been defined and always been the most effective. So we'll learn those things beginning tonight here.
Some of the red zone numbers, since you're there, you brought it up. Last year, Nebraska ends up 17th in the Big Ten in red zone offense, only scoring 75.5% of the time. Good for, or bad for, 117th nationally. Cincinnati, on the flip side, and even 80% of the time, they put points on the board when they got in the red zone. Here's the thing, though. 14th in the Big 12 and 99th nationally. A couple offenses that, at least last year, struggled between the 20s, or as Jay Foreman would even say, with the extended red zone, once they got inside the 30. DP, what are some ways that you think Nebraska might look to attack Cincinnati offensively against the Bearcats defense when they get to the red zone?
Well, so based on last year's numbers, and again, it's the numbers you know, we don't have current data.
No.
The numbers you know and what they did previously and with the players that are returning, they stuck with zone coverage. Now, they would trick it up and go man in rare situations where they thought it would create some change in tendency of their opponents. But they didn't like running man coverage in the red zone. They like being in zone coverage, keeping folks in front, and then on third down pressing so that in that 3-3-5 that they run, they can fire up some special pressure to force a quarterback to throw the ball sooner than he wants. But against zone in the red zone, it is simply run to green, throw to green. And being able option routes from both slots depends on the package that are going to be there. Mm-hmm. And then for me, Emmett out of the backfield in the red zone creates some problems. It gets him one-on-one. He breaks the tackle. We score instead of it being, pick and roll. Like I like the idea of him. Remember, you can put him in motion. Mm-hmm. You can tilt the field with motion. Motion in the red zone against the zone changes a lot of things.
Gino says, hopefully that Nebraska tries to utilize their tight ends a little better this year in the red zone. I think that's something fans have been clamoring for a while. I guess my solve to the red zone issues, DP, my ask would be, can Nebraska create some more explosive plays and score from outside the red zone? Not something Nebraska was able to do very consistently last year. And I think that if Nebraska is not going to be a power straight ahead run team, if they're not going to be consistent inside the 20, well, shoot, maybe you can try to score from 35 instead. If you have the game breakers, you can do it.
Well, we don't know if Nebraska can play bully ball yet, right? And the bully ball allows for big plays to happen. That physicality makes people commit to things that they don't really
commit.
Right. You know, it makes your heart make some business decisions your feet aren't prepared to adjust to. But big play, that's the Carter Nelson, hey, can we put him in the right situation? Can we run him out there in enough run-first situations where they start to assume? Mm-hmm. They start to slack off a little bit. Harburg. Look, you get Harburg with his size and speed on a safety in open space, one missed tackle, big play.
Watch out.
The easiest thing for a quarterback in zone, you can there are packages with two tight ends. Mm-hmm. If those two tight ends are Harburg and Carter Nelson, you're forcing Cincinnati in their nickel situations to make some tough decisions. And then it becomes tackling. I said it like yesterday. Whatever team tackles the best today should win the game, because it's going to take a broken tackle. It's going to take an open field miss. That's where the big plays will happen. Zone coverage, they're defending against that. They're prepping against the big plays. broken tackles and missed tackles will be a big advantage.
Speaking of that 3-3-5 primarily zone defense from Cincinnati, last year the Bearcats allowed points of some sort 89.7% of the time when an opposing team reached the 25th in the Big 12 and 112th nationally. Not a lot of resistance going on from Cincinnati last year.
What was the touchdown percentage?
It just shows the overall.
Right. So again, when you go zone, when you rely on zone, it is taking away over the top. You're literally just capping everything and saying, listen, I think we can tackle in the space. But this is where the Carter Nelson, Emmett Johnson, Heinrich Harburg advantage, the athletic advantage that's in play. Sometimes you can motion a 6'6" Harburg against a 185-pound corner, like a dime defender in that space. Sometimes you can use Carter's quickness against a 240-pound linebacker in open space. Again, you're making him chase. He runs an option route. That 240-pounder having to plant the foot and then get to Carter in time and get him to the ground isn't necessarily easy. But that's what happens in zone defense. I'm going to cap you. I'm going to keep you in front of you, in front of me. And then in more times than not, they feel like they can get you to the ground. That's not necessarily the case when you're playing somebody that has more talent. That's what you're watching tonight. Does Nebraska get Cincinnati's playmakers to the ground? Does Cincinnati get Nebraska's playmakers to the ground?
Gus Mohawk, yes, you can get a quick shout out to the Farber crew listening five deep and an hour away from Arrowhead. Been a long drive. Stay safe. Thank you for keeping it tuned in to 93.7. The Ticket, Gus Mohawk and the Farber crew. We appreciate you. Gino says, when was the last time that a Nebraska fan saw a running back make a house call from 60 plus yards out? Guess what? Handy dandy game notes provide you the answer. The last time Nebraska had a touchdown run from between 60 and 69 yards.
But from a running back.
Was by a wide receiver.
Yeah, but from
Trey
a running
Homer
back.
Homer yeah, scored from 60 on a reverse against Purdue.
The last two big ones were Harbor and Trey. Then the question goes back, running back.
The next closest thing we have to a running back, Josh Fleeks, against Michigan to keep Nebraska's points scored streak intact in that 45-7 loss to the Wolverines in late September of 2023. Josh Fleeks, converted wide receiver, quasi running back, scored from 74 to get Nebraska on the board that day. Xavier Betts had an 83-yard, again, kind of reverse against Northwestern, really his breakout game in October of 2021. And the last time Nebraska had a 90 to 99-yard touchdown run was Taylor Martinez against UCLA in 2012.
When we talk about and Harrison and I have been delving into the confidence of each group being able to make the plays required for Nebraska to have the kind of season fans wanted to have. And listen, playmaking hasn't been a forte recently for Nebraska. Playmakers are the guys who it's the yards after catch, it's yards after contact. It is making people pay for being one-on-one against you. Now, Cincinnati tends to send people in waves at you. They will compress. That's why they stay in the zone. And then they will compress the quarterback on short notice in tight situations to get the ball out of Dylan's hand. But because they're in zone, Dylan Raiola has been exceptional. In year one, he was exceptional at making those decisions against zone coverage. 73%, that's top 10 in the country. For all quarterbacks against completion percentage against zone. That means he's getting the ball out of it. He sees it coming. He makes the decision, throws it open. They complete it. Those are the numbers you circle and go, okay, if those numbers mimic a year ago, Nebraska's fine. If they've tweaked it, changed it, then
how does Nebraska react and respond?
Different discussion.
Ryan in Nashville. You have a prediction. I have a trivia question tied to that for $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings. We'll give you that question, your chance to win $30 to our friends at Buffalo Wings and Rings to wrap up hour one of Old School.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
rolling right along through Old School. Austin Norman and DP with you. Want to let you know about Credible Mind. Lincoln Lancaster County Health Department has launched Credible Mind, a new online mental well-being platform. It's free, confidential, and available 24/7 at myhealthymind.crediblemind.com. In just minutes, you'll get non-judgmental guidance, practical tips, and resources to support your mental and physical health and well-being. Again, myhealthymind.crediblemind.com. Ryan in Nashville, appreciate you listening from all the way out there. We have an oddly specific prediction from you. Opening kick to the house for Nebraska. I'm predicting it. Nebraska is so overdue for something like that. For $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings, what year is the last year that Nebraska had a kickoff return for a touchdown? 402-464-5685.
And that's not opening,
just in general.
Just a return.
Just in general. Any kickoff return for a touchdown, what year, what season is the last time Nebraska returned any kickoff for a touchdown? While we wait for that answer, DP, we have a bunch of things emotionally. This is starting to weigh on people. We have Drumstick saying, this is the time of game day where the minutes feel like hours. And that's what Matt Rhule has talked about, managing the waiting. How normal can you keep a day like today where it's abnormal? It's the first game, it's kickoff, it's late, but can you make it feel as normal as possible? Ryan in Nashville, I honestly can't control my emotions today. I've been fired up, nervous. I've almost cried numerous times watching hype videos, then back to fired up. It's just a roller coaster. I'm so excited. That's where Husker fans are at right now.
So this is what's funny. This is what's funny to me. I'm bipolar today. I'm bipolar today because I have decades of this time of season. Today is opening day. So as a coach, I've done all the mental work. I should be walking into a locker room. Mm-hmm. As a fan, I've never been good at just waiting for opening day. Never good. And the best part of college football and NFL opening day is that generally they'll give it to you early, mm-hmm. unless you're good. Then you gotta wait. And the bigger the stage, the later you have to worry. You have to wait. So Nebraska fans, if it was just Saturday, if this was just Cincinnati and Nebraska in Cincinnati on campus,
Nippert Stadium,
on a Saturday, it would be 12 noon, 11 a.m. Right? Mm-hmm. Not what we're doing. It's not what we're doing. Yep. So all of us have to go through the gut wrench and the emotional yo-yo that happens of, oh, I believe we're going to win. I know we're going to win. Oh, no. What if we don't win? That's what we're doing. We're in the yo-yo. Enjoy the yo-yo, bro.
53-17. I've got mixed emotions about the game. I'm hyped, but also have butterflies about the outcome. Hoping the Huskers win so I can watch football all weekend in peace. I think a lot of Husker fans are there. If you play Thursday, Friday, or early Saturday, what you want to do is sit down and watch football. What you cannot subject yourself to doing is sitting down and watching more football when you're that pissed off.
It really, Joe Gibbs was the first person I heard to say it, that when you lose early, so if you lose Sunday, 1 o'clock in the NFL, get week one. The afternoon games, the Sunday night game, the Monday night games, it is as fully as if somebody peed in the soup. Mm-hmm. You can't eat. No soup is going to be good the rest of the weekend.
You're not messing with it.
It just is. You have peed in soup. Mm-hmm. So that's all there is, bro. You need to win. And if you win, the soup's great.
Tastiest soup you ever had.
Warmed up, it's perfect. Heated up, reheated, it's perfect. Shared, wonderful. Go ahead and do it. You'll invite people over to share the soup.
And you probably took a leak in someone else's soup on your way to get your own non-pita.
You were like, hey, so. How's your soup? How's your soup over there, neighbor? Did you have pita in soup? My soup's good.
It's clean. We're good. We got a wide range of answers for the last time Nebraska returned a kickoff for a touchdown. We have a guess of 2011, 2003, 2012, 2013, 2003, 2016, 2014, 2019, J.D. Spielman, 2016, 2005, 2011, But the correct answer, the last time Nebraska returned a punt or a kickoff for a touchdown. Now we have 2018 in there as well. Jesse, you were the first person in with the correct answer of 2017. It was J.D. Spielman against Arkansas State. I was actually on the call for college radio for that one, witnessed that one live and in color. DP, it has been 8 full seasons since Nebraska has returned a kick for a touchdown. Not even on accident once.
This hurts my heart. This hurts my heart. Listen, I got recruited as a kick returner. I was one of those people that more so than a running back or a receiver, I was a flanker who happened to excel at returning kicks. And the very first few emails I got was because they saw me return kicks. It hurts my heart. Because I always said, I need 2 blocks. I need 2 blocks to make magic happen. Mm-hmm. And you're telling me that with all the great athletes that have been here, running backs, receivers, defensive backs, safeties, that you couldn't get a return in 8 years.
Not one on accident. Mississippi Mud Dog is asking, no credit for having the dude that did it. First of all, Mud Dog, good pull. You weren't the only one to say J.D. Spielman. You just got the wrong year. Now, if I had asked punt return, 2019 J.D. Spielman also would have been the answer. Did that against South Alabama on August 31st of 2019. So Mississippi Mud Dog, here is your verbal virtual pat on the back. But Jesse was in first with what we were asking for, and that was the year. We got Kevin Meyer, Myers Cork and Bottle outside. You got a Thirsty Thursday lined up for us here today on game day. Robbie in Iowa, you're getting off work, popping open the garage, having your own little tailgate. We'll bring Kevin in here, tell us what we're drinking for our own little Nebraska tailgate. Thirsty Thursday next on Old School.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.